Good morning, everyone. Let's welcome Carlos Rolo. He's giving us a talk about IoT in the field, about Kettle and Cassandra.
Hello, everyone. Just a disclaimer. I'm not experienced with cows, cattle, farming, ranching. I got this project. I didn't even know cows existed in the first place in the project. And then it ended to be a really, really, really nice project. Ended up learning a lot about cows. So, and IoT. So going through walk you through this. This is WAM. My name is Carlos. I'm a technical lead at the Cassandra team in Pigeon. I'm always been a distributed systems person, got my certifications, being with Cassandra since 08, programming before in high school, so that's what I love to do. Pigeon, we are a managed services company. Our core business is Oracle. We do have MySQL, SQL FBA, all the open source databases, clouds, teams, Linux, Windows, infrastructure management, just trying to keep systems afloat for a lot of customers. So, the cattle problem. There's a lot of cattle, really a lot. They also use a huge amount of space. Also, I figured out it's not cheap. They have a huge problem, which I never knew about regulation. So you cannot, but this is a recent problem. So right now you cannot give, before you can give like food antibiotics and all that things to the livestock and you'll go from there. Right now you have to get every cow, everything you have with the right shots, vaccines, medication can only be given under certain circumstances. So there's a, which means you now moved into, you need to control each one as is, and not just feed them food with antibiotics and we are good to go. There's price concerns, they are not cheap. Then cow specifically has a problem, which is the growth time. So if you're intensive in growing cattle for beef, for example, the growth time versus pork and chicken is completely different. So whatever you do takes a couple of time to be shown on the field. It's so. Why did someone at some point decide I'm going to IoT cattle? It's the same as any operation. So you move into a preventive mode versus a reactive mode. You can keep track of where your cattle is, what's the health status, what they are doing, if they are feeding correctly, if they are getting enough water. And then you can react immediately, given the distances involved is not that immediately, but you can react to changes in the health of a single head of cows. And in the end, you reduce the operation cost. And another thing I didn't know, so you reduce operation costs, and given this seems to be pressure on the beef prices, so reducing costs it's always a good thing to do. Now there are two types of ways to do cattle. This amazing drawing. So this is really intensive, which is they call the pens. So in the ranch you'll have a lot of pens like this, with this amount of heads of cows in each pen, And well, then they are, you know where they are, what they are, and you'll see, I would see things on the system like figure out what's going on pen 256 and stuff like that. You have the roaming one, which they roam, so that's it. You have a huge piece of land and they roam. Ear tags, so that's the key, that's the IoT. So before really old time, we'll see those in the movies, they'll tag the cows, they'll tattoo the cows with the number. That means you to figure out which cow it is, you have to look at the tattoo that with time will start to wear off or the hair starts to grow. Then they evolved into the more recent and still, I think it's a common practice everywhere, the numeric plus the barcode ones. This allows at least when they move cattle to quick scan the barcodes and know which one it is. The more recent trend is the small circle one, which is the RFID tags. So they will walk around with, the ranchers will walk around with a stick that just get near the ears of the cow and it will scan the cows. And there are a new one, which I could not find an image, sorry, which are the what were used on this project. So they are GPS plus GPRS and radio based. And they are like this big. They go inside the ear of the cow with a probe, so they can get like heart rate, and they have the GPS there. They have the transmitter, UHF transmitter, and they get what more? So it's a kind of this wearable devices that you put in the ear of the cow and gives you at least the baseline data for a cow. Temperature, forgot about temperature. Temperature is the one of the key metrics they use to monitor. And then this transmits the information to antennas that are spread around your property. So this gives us, we go into the next one, is to follow them. So it's really difficult if you have a huge amount of land. So the best chance is, so you put some poles around with antennas around your property, trying to guess best coverage for the cost. Poles do have a concentrator, so they are not constant, they are connected to the internet or at least to some other device that will then connect to the internet. It depends on how it is implemented. So in really remote areas, the poles will send the data to other poles that we, by that time they are connected to the internet. But it's completely far from 100% coverage. It's the amount of coverage you get from this system is it's not good at best. So then there are a couple of things that you can do to address this. So in case of roaming, you have this problem, and this is still really good coverage if this actually was so good, because you cannot always put them straight in a straight line. There's land problems, so sometimes they're near the edge of your land, sometimes they're in the middle, sometimes they don't cover. Then you have poles that are covering the area 3-4 times, so it's not easy. I was like, why aren't you doing this? Why don't you go for full coverage? And then it's the price. It's not cheap to put a system like this. So you try to do the best case approach. For pen cattle, it gets a little bit easier because you can do something like this. So you already have the pen's infrastructure, and you putting the poles there. It's just when you build the pens, you do it. So, why I put the feeders there, and the feeders are a key point I forgot in this one. The feeders are key in this system. And why is that? Because that's the only guarantee that you collect data from the cows. So you put food in the feeder or water, and then the cows will move there. At that time, you make sure that the feeders are under coverage, and then all the data is taken out of the cows. So again, the problem is normally the feeding areas, because if you get a huge amount of cows, needs to have more coverage in a single pool. So they normally have 2, 3, or 4 pools giving coverage to that single feeder. Then we have this consideration that we need to take in account what information to transmit, what is feasible to collect, the information rate, the tags have a lifetime, and this was honestly at the beginning is you want to collect everything, you want to transmit everything, you do the as low information rate as possible. Then you forget about, this is good if you forget that the tags have limited memory, limited capacity, and it's kind of limited, seriously limited, because it also impacts the battery life. So you have to choose wisely what and when to transmit. Because if the cow is out of range for a long time, you don't want to get just the time she went under the coverage, so we want to have a good timeline of the cow tag information. So this is the architecture that was put into the project. So the poles will push this into a queue, which will push this into Cassandra. You had a data analysis tool, and you have a front end. The queue didn't exist at first, and this caused massive problems. Because, like I said, the cows are not always in range, and when you get around 200,000 cows to feed, which 4 times coverage, if you dimension your system for the peak, which be 800,000 inserts a second, or 1 million inserts a second, or even more in some cases, you have to use a huge cluster just to handle that. So queuing is key here, and it's, I think, for IoT systems where we always don't know when, at least this kind of systems where you don't know when transmission can occur, and suddenly every system can transmit and a huge amount of data, it's a good practice. Data analysis, because you want, given the volume, pre-processing might be the bottleneck. So you just push all the data in and then you take care of the data later. That's why Cassandra is a pretty good fit here, because you can always scale the system and segregate data for analysis in different clusters, so it doesn't impact your ingestion cluster. And the front end, yeah, you want to see what is in the data. That's the... So for this... For these systems, we had these were the biggest problems we had. So it was massive bursts, and because at feeding time it would get crazy, the system would be. So when we start this project, the system will go down every time the cows would feed. That was it. So cows would get and the system had the two approaches. So there are a couple of roaming cows, there are a couple of pen cows. The pen cows, they are fed sequentially, so if you put in one pen, then another pen. So the system will just crash, get up, crash, get up, crash, get up. You get a lot of duplicated data, since this data was mostly transmitted by radio. So the tag picks up and sends it to the air, and then all the poles and their coverage will get the same data. So you end up having multitude of data, and you also get out of order data. So if a cow was sleeping for one day, then the next day decides to go feed, then you get all the data for that cow out of order. And another problem was, every time people request, I want to see data now, I want to get results now, even if the cow is not transmitting for one day. So we need to add a kind of post-processing that was giving us real-time information. If I'm not seeing that cow feeding for 2 days, I want to go there and check on the cow. Or if the temperature is high, so the temperature is growing on a certain cow, I want to immediately check what's going on the cow. So we had to take this in account when dimensioning a system. And the next step was, what was the problem we were facing? So when I log in the first time, the system was down. And then it was completely idle. And I was like, what? So you restart the system is idle. And then suddenly the system goes down. And then I'm like, what is going on here? Because the first time I connected, I didn't know about this. I only connected to check how I'm a Cassandra DBA. So I checked in, like, Cassandra is performing bad. It crashes. So I went, Cassandra was down, I restarted Cassandra, do some checks. Cassandra was down after 15 minutes. So I checked what's going on. Cassandra was down again after 15 minutes, like, oh, come on. And then I asked someone, what is happening here? What's the insert rate? What's this? And say, oh, we have 1 million cows. We have 1 million cows. So I'm Portuguese, and this is all the cows we'll have in the country. So it's the dimension of the situation. And the problem is, they will send the data every 15 minutes. That will allow us to keep a good state, that allows the tags to have almost 1 day of data. And so we had two problems. Is, if the cow send a full day of data five times, because five poles were under coverage, even your queue will not hold it up because of the data size that will be pushed by a single cow. There's another thing. So this is, like I said, radio based. It's not Wi-Fi. So the tags will fire and forget. Once they transmit it, the data is gone. So you have to make sure that you get all the data at that time. This was a kind of a problem. Well, almost everything was a problem. And you still have, if you dimension for this amount of data, for this amount of burst in that single period, you have 15 minutes of a stale system, a huge system that is stale every 15 minutes. So we had to go through a couple of considerations. So the first one is cluster sizing, because it's either the data or is the insert rate. This was clearly an insert rate problem. Although the data from a full day of tag information was, it's not big, but if it's time 1 million, then it's big. But in the end, this will, 1 day of data in Cassandra will be a couple of gigs, 20 gigs. So pretty feasible. Not, I've seen worse. But the insert rate was just massive. Another huge problem we had with hardware. So no, it was being used because the system was still most of the time. The customer decided to pick low hardware instances. Actually, not micros, but not much better than micros on AWS. Which, when you get a burst, and we figured out a bad way that we got instances, most of the instances was allocated on the same hosts, you would see massive CPU steal happening, like 60% of CPU steal. So even if you dimension it correctly, if you do it all correctly, well, the instance could not keep up. So reworking all the hardware, again, trying to explain why should you use SSDs when, well, the system is stale. It was then the memory limits. So you in the end, we went with a kind of small cluster, but really heavy instances. It was 12 nodes, trying to remember, 12 nodes, I2s. So it would allow us to ingest all the data. And then we still have all the additional pieces. The queuing system, pick a decent queue, by the way. Don't just pick a queue because it's in your language that you like. This is a thing I learned. Analytics, also use Spark, use Ignite. Those things are good. Don't try to roll your own. It was interesting. So one of the problem is the data model in Cassandra. Like I said, we had a massive. We need to remove duplicates. The queue will not remove the duplicates. Cassandra need to remove the duplicates. So the first thing is, given the bursts and compaction will have a time to pick up, which is a good thing. So it will burst, then compaction will pick up. You have there's a couple of things to try to smooth out those bursts, either with a thing that's called coordination tire. But at the time, this was pretty new. Just talked about, we didn't want to go that way. But another thing is, so this is not the end data model. Like I said, unfortunately, NDAs and all that, I cannot give serious details about who was ended up in, because this data model is a problem. This means you need to pick by tag, and you need to know all the tags that exist. So if you want to process your data for a couple of months or for the last week, because another thing important in the cow, it seems that the trend, especially to figure out if a cow is pregnant. That was a huge problem, because the cow might die when the calf gets born. So you want to figure out if out of 1 million cows, how many pregnant cows you have. And this is a thing you cannot find by looking at that specific moment of time data. So you need to build trends on it. I'm saying it that time window compaction strategy is a really good fit, except the out of order. That's the problem we had. So we had out of order data. And this is not a good thing to use with TWS, unless you know how much data you can get out of order, which was the key point on defining the windows. So we defined the windows that out of order will not get out of the window. So in the end, you get when the window goes off, that data will never be changed or moved into another thing. The tables for a given period of time is the key here. And then another on the pre-processing, what we'll do is we'll roll over data. So we go, okay. So there was some pre-processing. And why, as I just said, it's a massive insert, but we do, at some point in the project, we figured out we needed a pre-processing. Especially because of what I just said, I need to make trends about the data. I need to figure out some other stuff that if I insert data as is, it's really difficult in Cassandra to read if it's not the way you intended the data to be read. So there was some pre-aggregation that was done. There were some transformations to get the data in a more readable, friendly way. Otherwise, we had Spark lifting up all the data, and then if the cluster survives the cows burst, it will not survive the Spark load. So some pre-transformation would greatly help the end result. So for data analysis, so only raw data was in place, so data analysis and some transformate data. At the time, Ignite was not there. We used Spark heavily. We tried PrestoDB also because there was some other data that they want to enrich in MySQL. So the front-end system, you could provide information. It will be stored in a MySQL database. And then PrestoDB allowed us to join the two data. And then we would Spark most of the data. So the most interesting analysis that included was figuring out if the cows actually were feeding. It seemed that sometimes they decide that they don't want to eat or whatever. So checking the data movement of the cows, and another one is the outliers. So the outliers in L data, because if it's really hot or if it's really cold, those tags are not like, let's say, state-of-the-art guaranteed. So data will change and then say, oh, all my cows have a health problem because they are all cold or they are all really hot. So the best thing to do was figure out outliers in the data. And with the processing that we had in place, this was not the volume we had in place. In the end, it was pretty okay. Yeah, pretty okay. So Spark will do this. It might have a problem reading all the data. That's why we inserted the preprocessing. But this will give some really nice charts, which unfortunately I. But it was these two were the keys in there. Then they started doing like checking the pregnancies, and they got to the point that they could not only check, especially for the roaming ones, they could not only check if they were pregnant, if they actually gave birth. So they could say, okay, cow 7536 just gave birth, and they would drive there. I don't know for how long. They will drive there and figure out and take care of the cow and the calf. Another thing that's always almost forgotten, and with all the attacks and everything, like even with Cassandra and cows and whatever, just keep it safe. It's a business. It's business security. It's not good to other people figure out what you're doing with your cows and how you are. So you can start with this is common sense in should be used in all the Cassandra, and this is I've seen almost in none Cassandra deployments. So you don't do client cluster SSL, so data goes in the open, especially in a system like this, that these things were going through the internet and all your cow data is completely open. If you have two DCs on different geographic locations and then you use public IPs for communication, do the SSL or do a VPN and then do SSL if you're paranoid. Firewall the nodes. Someone told on a talk yesterday, don't get your JMX ports out in the open. and some people still do. So even the default does not allow it. People change it and they get avoid exposing nodes on public IPs, and then of course the default things: don't use SSH and private keys, use gem boxes, don't expose the things, don't use the same username with root access for everyone that touched the system. Those kind of things. For future consideration. So security is still not in place for that given system, not all, and for a lot of them. A way to deal with to pre-process data and in a more robust way. I forgot things like changing the queue to Kafka. That would be a good thing on this project. But this was... And there are things that you can never change. You cannot change the poles locations once they are in. If the property changes size, this is a kind of a problem. Especially if you shrink the property size, it seems that ranges might sometimes sell blocks or buy another blocks. I didn't understand that part completely. So that's why you also don't aim for a completely full coverage of your property, because you might not keep it up forever. So some takeaways. So that's the IoT for living things is here, and the other day I found dogs and cats are also being tracked, and you're getting to know where your dog and your cat were, how much did they run, and well, we got these things. They know how much we walk, and if we get the GPS once, they know where we walked. Well, the cell phones are doing the same. Hardware is key. And sometimes we think about the isolated components. Like I was, when I dived into this project, it was about Cassandra, and I only cared about Cassandra. And then Cassandra was not a problem unless it was in the 15-minute mark. Then it was a problem. Then I needed to know the dimension of the problem. Why Cassandra will die, even if I double the cluster, triple the cluster, and then it will still die. Because in the end, I didn't know there was like a million cows out there. And then, of course, I needed to know the problem was, okay, now there's a million cows out there. Why? What are you doing with the cows? What is your end objective? So I went to know the problem. This was my first IoT project in Cassandra. I have lots of time series. Well, some people call it IoT, but things are pretty static. It's just a system feeding data. But not real like this, where you might have different cows. Also, there's another thing. There are cows for beef. There are cows that for milk. There are cows that are just there for breeding, so it's, there are different cows for different types of beef, and there are cows that are not good for beef now and they'll be good for beef later, so this, like I said, I had to figure out a lot, and especially when the people in front of the project was building boats and then suddenly decided it was a million cows. So I made it a bit short. Sorry that I cannot share more. Like I said, sometimes we don't have control. And I would love to get into the inner details of the project. So if you have any questions, Cassandra is a good thing, even if it's not related. And these are my handles. I'm also on the DataStacks Academy Slack if you want to ask any questions Cassandra related. And thank you all for attending the talk.
Just Sterling. Was this project in the United States?
Yes.
On the East Coast?
No.
West part?
In the middle.
Oh, okay. Still private. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That part I don't know. So I know it was in the middle. It's in Texas.
Texas?
Yes.
Okay. It's just like different constraints. Like I had a similar project many years ago, and like on the West Coast, cows are on BLM land, so it's owned by the government, and so like the ability to put up poles and things like that is a lot more restricted. And so I was just kind of wondering.
So that's one of the things with coverage, it's especially with the roaming ones. They had, I don't know how that impacts, and I remember the discussions where they had what they called the moving square. So like the cows can be on this land now, and tomorrow they need to be on this land. So I don't know if that gives you any insight what kind of land was it. And this was also impacting the coverage, because this one was the case where if it moves from here to there, you cannot have a pole there, for example.
Right, yeah. You have to keep the poles and the cows separate during the time of the year. And fascinating.
So, like I said, I went into this for fixing Cassandra, and I ended up learning a lot about cows.
Yep.
Do you use the analytics you get to create patterns?
So to identify, so one of the things is I'm not an analytics guy. So I built the system and I seen what the other people were doing, and honestly gave a lot of guidance on what the especially how to move data in and out of Cassandra. But I did saw patterns, searching patterns for especially for pregnancy, to figure out the change of the temperature and other metrics to figure out if a cow was pregnant. A typical pattern was the movement towards the feeder or not. And this was the. Then there was a lot of. And this was really problematic, the outlier detection, because like I said, the tags are not guaranteed the interval, the range of the values they send. And if person X put the tags, they will be really well done, and if another person put the tags, they will not be that well done, and then you get different values from the same tag, and then you have a huge dispersion of data. So you have to, in the end, they had to get someone really good into that to figure out, like, okay, this is a tag problem, and so this is not outliers. These cows are good and alive, but the tag is not completely into the ear of the cow. And so this tag needs to be adjusted, or since the cows are somewhere else, we'll figure it out and we'll keep treating this set of data differently from this set of data. And then you will think that the cow died, the tag just died. So in the end, I think people analyzing the data still have a huge road to walk, because too many cows, too many questions, too many tags, different versions, different data. In some point, they decide to use tags when with two thermometers to give a better indication to at least try to sort out the. And then I remember someone saying, if you have a thermometer, you have a temperature. If you have two, you have a problem. Because even if they are the two in the same place, they might give you different readings. So that's analytics. It's still probably an ongoing challenge.
You had a problem with the feeders, since you had coverage simultaneous the same cows, that you would be sending the same data to.
Yeah, that's That would cause, so the birds will not nice already, because then you get like, and then if you get five poles doing coverage on a single feeder, because when someone decide to pull the poles, it's more or less here, and then it's more or less there, it was not really, the distance was not properly, then you get some place with five poles, when in one case five poles were covering a feeder. So this would give you five times 100,000 cows getting in and out. So that single feeder would be a problem. Actually, deactivating poles was a solution at some point to reduce the burst, because it was mostly redundant at that place.
Did you end up doing like a custom queue in the front end, because that sounds like the right place to do this sort of deactivation?
So when I got there, the queue was not there. So that was so suddenly you get some. So the poles will put this to concentrators, and the concentrator will push the data into Cassandra, and this will just, there's no way to survive that. And then they put a C-sharp queue in front, which I never heard about. That was really terrible, because either the queue died while with the ingestion, or the queue would lose data. And then you want to guarantee at least once data delivered, like I said, the data will be transmitted, and then you don't get the data anymore. You cannot get to the tag and retry the data. Then it was done a custom queue. I don't know why they didn't pick any of the available queuing systems. They ended up making a custom queue in Go or something. That was kind of working, so for me it was okay. The data was getting to Cassandra, there was another problem of the system, is how are you sure that is a tag problem, or is data being lost somewhere in the middle, and then you don't want to go after a cow to figure out if you're, if it was, so if someone will get, so someone in the company will get really mad to figure out that someone is, oh no, the cow died, and now it's your queue is losing data. So he had to go miles searching for the dead cow, and now the cow is. And it's not like you see the cow and say, oh, it's that cow that's dead. No, you have to check with the RFID which is the cow that should be dead. So. Kind of a different logistics problem. Okay. Then thank you all. Have a nice day.